personally overlooked. That's why I know this. The horse, to run well, had to be third or fourth. The trouble was the horse was going to be seventh or eighth.
Versus today's pace.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the number of horses that were between that horse and the leader. Sure. So think about the races that we've all seen, where a horse gets intimidated by other horses and doesn't perform well. They get trapped along the rail, or they're on the outside, and they just lose interest in the race, and they don't run particularly well. It doesn't mean that they're off form necessarily, although that could be it. But the problem is that they have to be placed where they can not only match the pace, but they've got to be in the right position to win the race. So when you spot races where a race like this one, where you've got three horses and only three horses that are going to be in the position that they want to be in and are able to perform to their best, you've got the race by the throat. Any one of our computer programs would have gotten this race. I didn't put it through the computer because I only saw one horse when I got done, but any one of our computer programs would do that. But you have to pay attention to it. Bradshaw was talking about this 2 months ago, and it's, you know, if a horse likes to run two lengths behind the leader and be third or fourth to run his best, and today he figures to be fifth or sixth, he's not really a very good shot today. He's just going to have to do something that he's unaccustomed to doing. And horses are trained animals. So that's why I don't really like to adjust what they've done. I don't see the value in it. I know that Mr. Bowles ran an 80 out of his last race. His best was an 88 out of a 7 furlong race, which is today's distance. And I know that the 88 and the 80 are about equal. I just know that by inspection, because I've done enough of these races to know that. Here's how they're equal. 22-1, he was beaten three lengths. That's a 22-4. There's about, what is that, 6 or 7 fifths of a second difference in their first quarter. Which could be, if you would take that, the last pace line, and put him behind it, his rating would be much higher because he would be gaining lengths as opposed to losing, or not losing lengths, but setting the pace. Does everybody understand that? I know some people probably don't and are afraid to or embarrassed to raise their hand, but I really want to emphasize that if a horse is setting the pace and he runs faster than he really wants to run, it costs him 2 units of energy at the end of the race, whether it's the first fraction or the second fraction. And if he's against a more comfortable pace today, he is such a standout. Mr. Bowles was not the favorite in this race, but this horse is dropping out of a stakes race against these guys that have never beaten anything but maidens. There's a big difference in the quality of those horses. Yes?
Suppose the horse puts in a fifth or two faster than he normally runs in the first round.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, puts in a fifth or two slower in the second fraction than normally. Will there be any effect on the third fraction?
Sure, absolutely. First of all, if he runs faster in the first fraction than he normally does, and he starts to slow down in the second already, are you suspicious of his condition or not?
Well, it's hard to say. He might be on the front end. He might be just controlling the pace. Right?
Well, if he's controlling the pace, I still like to see a horse run to his best, even if he's controlling the pace. Tom's going
to... I'd like to interject one piece here.
Okay.
That'll be the difference. You got to, in a row, if they're able to take hold and relax in that second fraction, because they run a half mile,
right,
and often they'll take a breather in the second fraction. Now, that's positive. The horse will have more stamina. The sprint, though, that second fraction is so critical that, generally speaking, if a horse runs a length faster than the first fraction, he'll continue to run his own second fraction. They just don't get a breather this time. It's the first fraction that they generally, they slow it down in the first fraction, then they accelerate the rest of the way home, and they're in great shape. But if they expend it in that first fraction, they don't really gain it back.
Yeah.
You've got to separate sprints and routes. There's a route. If the horse is able to get that breather, I mean, you start competing for the window. There is a definite difference.
Because when I was addressing your comment, my first thought was looking at it from a sprint standpoint. That's a real sign of declining form. If he's not necessarily losing ground, but he doesn't run his normal second fraction. And a fifth or two of a second is a lot of difference. It's a lot of difference. A lot more. Obviously, it's a lot of difference. It makes a lot of difference in our program and the readouts. What I like to do, and on the front page, I made a little chart. It's a little bit more formal than I usually do. But what I've been doing is I've been placing the horses at the second call, who I think is going to be there. I like to place the number of lengths behind. And I did the whole field, although I don't normally do that. And I put down the final fraction energy rating that they're capable of running. Now,
I have a question.
Okay.
Where do you get the rating for what? How do you figure it out? An 88?
Okay. I subtract the second call time from the final time, and I add or subtract 1 point or 1/5 of a second for every beaten length that they gain or lose. Okay. I take the final time of a race. Say the race is 6 furlongs. The final time is 1:10. That equals 70 seconds. The half mile time was run in 45 seconds. So the difference between 70 minus 45 is 25 seconds. He gained 1.5 lengths between the second call and the finish. So he would get a plus 2/5 of a second for the gain, which would make it 24.3 seconds, which equals an 87 rating off of the chart that's in the matchup manual, and you've also been given a copy of it today.
Thank you.
Okay. Now the same thing applies to routes, except you're going to be using the 6 furlong time as a second call, and then the final time.
I understand. Okay. My second question is, you have on Sarah's time, you have an average FFR of 79. How did you turn that being 79?
No, it was an actual. That's what he ran in the race.
Oh, the actual?
Yeah. Okay. I did that to demonstrate that you can be fairly accurate with projections.
Oh, this is the actual.
That's the actual. Those last two columns are the actual second call positioning and beaten lengths, and the actual final fraction energy rating that they ran out of that race.
How's the successful rate?
Exactly.
Thank you.
The reason I do that is occasionally, if I've done a race like a key race, I want to check all the horses. All it does for me is it builds up my confidence to know that if I'm projecting something, I'm doing it properly. If I'm doing it improperly, I'd like to get with someone and learn where I'm making my mistakes.
That's all?
Yes.
When you select the final fraction that you're going to use, and by the way, I've been using this, and it's helped me a lot. I just want to see how you do it compared to me. You're obviously not looking at just the last race alone.
No.
Do you pick a specific one, or will you sometimes eyeball it and say, based on what I see here, I think you're going to run this? Or do you like to use a specific one from his past performance?
Okay, the reason I used the 88 is because it was 7 furlongs. That's the whole basis of it.
Right.
I didn't think he was going to run an 88 because I felt he was going to be on the lead today. But that's why I used that rating. Because if you see these rankings or these ratings and you have a list of them, you can see that you only go down 4 horses, and all the rest of the horses can't make up any ground. They're way too far back. They're not nearly as fast. So now we've got our race down to 4 legitimate contenders. Of the four, pointedly, does not meet the matchup. It's going to get cooked on the front end. So now we got it down to 3. We've got an 89, an 88, and an 87. And for me, I can just look at the form and say, there's 3 horses, 89, 88, 87. My pace setter is an 88, probably will set the pace and run a little bit slower than that, probably around 86 or 85. And these other guys are going to be behind them, and they can't catch up to them. And that was. I've spent about 6 minutes on this race, if that long. Yes.
Fellow Winnie, is any value to? And let's take that sort of 92 rating you're searching maybe.
Okay.
So he runs his 92 on a 46.174.
Right.
Is there any value to doing the same as we do with PBS and, you know, saying, but today's pace is going to be 44.3, so therefore he's going to be, you know, 46.3, almost seven points lower than that.
Okay. Here's what I did with searching native. There is some value in that. That's a good point. I looked at his three races at three different racetracks. Each one was run against a very slow half-mile time by comparison to what he's facing today. He's never been closer than two lengths. He's been 2, 7 3/4, and 9.5. First of all, he doesn't meet the matchup. That's the first drawback. The second one is that he's going to be a long, long ways back against a slow pace. As you can see, I put him back at 15 lengths behind the pace. I don't do that any longer. I just give him a minus 10 plus. And in actuality, he was 8 lengths. He was numbered. He was running dead last, as I predicted, 11.2 lengths off the pace. His actual final fraction energy rating out of that race was an 86. And I did that. I figured out the last place horse specifically because I thought somebody would probably ask that question. It's a good one. He ran an 86, but he ran a little closer to the pace today. He ran 5 to the pace, and he ran, so it reduced his final fraction energy rating by 6 points. So he's a real, real deep closer. Maybe Yakima Meadows, but I don't think he's going to win much in Southern California. Although he did win, you know, he won at Fairplex. So I don't know, you never know. But there is some value in it, but that horse would have to have about 107 to get me interested in him.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's really got to be cooking. I haven't seen any 107.
Oh, no, I didn't mean the horse. I mean, is there value in the
there is some value in it.
Deducting from the projected second call, because that's what he's going to be up against
today. Yeah.
And obviously in 92 looks
okay, why don't we just quickly do that? If we put him, he's 10 lengths behind, so his second call time and out of that race would be a 48.1. 48.1. From a 44.3 is what? 3.3 seconds? That's 18 lengths. Take 18 from 92,
right,
and you got 74. And
right,
he's in the rest, and that's if he's on the pace or close to it. So that's there is some value to that.
Yeah, I mean, if you measure that against the other horses in the race, then
yeah,
he doesn't look like anything.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Is that
exactly
how it approached on?
Pardon me?
I've done that just kind of wanted to, just searching for a way to reconcile the lengths behind the second call versus, now in this case, as a good example, you got a 92, you could be impressed.
Yeah, I was. I thought, my goodness, a 92, because I just run numbers. I don't look at beaten lengths or anything. I quickly run the numbers so I don't get all involved in trying to sort out the pace line at that point. I ran the numbers and thought, my goodness, 92, that's pretty good. That's the best in this field. And I thought, oh my God, it's a 46.1, 10 lengths behind. He's going to be 15 lengths behind this field. So now his rating doesn't mean anything. So I just moved on.
So,
yeah.
Let me restate my question. So since you've done so many of these, do you like to like to make it a specific race that you take it from? Or do you ever make it composite?
No, I do it specific from a specific race.
Okay.
I don't average it really.
And what percent is it usually?
Tell you what I use. I use the race that I would use to put in the computer. Absolutely the closest that I can get to today's possible matchup. And if he's the pace setter, and the pace might be a little different, then I don't adjust his rating, because there was a horse the other day that had a 74 out of his last race, and the best he'd ever done was a 77. But it was first race on Thursday. Silver was the band. But he was going to be the pace horse, and he was going to be facing no horses that was going to give him any pressure. So I figured, no pressure, he can probably run an 80 today. Just a guess. That's an observation. I don't know what he ran out of the race. All he did is he took the field wire to wire. And the best anybody else had done out of their most recent race was an 82, which tells me that he's the parade leader and this is a parade. And he's, you know, when I got him, he was 17-1. So the structuring of a race is really important. I mean, you can take a look at this. I don't think anybody could deny that if you just look at the ratings and put them in some sort of order next to your program number or whatever, that you've got three or four horses that have a shot and nobody else has one. So you can identify this as a pretty easy race. You know, before I go and handicap a race, I can go through and do the whole racing forms, first race or the last race, final fraction, in about an hour, all nine races. I can go through there and I can see the spread, as I call it. In other words, do I have eight horses that are bunched between three numbers? If I do, that's a tough race. You know, and then you've got to get into some real critical decisions as to who's in the absolute best form, who's going to get the lead, and that's probably going to be a parade. You might have one of three or four horses that possibly could get the lead. It's a tough race. And I'm not, you know, I don't have anything wrong with handicapping those races, but they don't offer me a lot of value unless there's a tremendous price involved. And I found good prices and easy races. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. It's just, I mean, it just baffles me that Mr. Bowles wasn't the favorite in this race. I figured anything over even money is a fair bet on this guy. I mean, he really looked like a standout to me.
Plus yeah. Garen riding.
And then I know your analysis is a little more in-depth.
You, back in the room.
No, no, I'm speaking.
I bet just because of Karen's right.
Dropping from a
stakes
thanks, and then everyone
down. Drop down, jock switch.
Why? I'm not speaking. I'm saying why the public didn't
have yeah.
it. Right?
Yes.
What do you think of the process of simply taking that number minus your estimated lead lengths for an ending number?
I've looked at it, and I'm not sure that it always works. The reason I believe that it doesn't always work is because horses don't have speedometers inside their head. They will run a final fraction that is very similar, no matter if it's a 44-2, or maybe if it's a 45. There doesn't seem to be any kind of arithmetic deduction that you can make. And the reason I know that is because I'll go through and I'll do all 10 races for a horse. And I'll say, you know, against, okay, see if we can find an example of something along those lines, if we can find enough good races. I don't know if we can even do it out of this particular race. Okay, El Giorian runs against a 46 at Hollywood Park last July. He's beaten the length and a half. He runs an 84. Against a 44-2, he's beaten six lengths. So 6 plus 2 is 8. That's a 45-3. He runs an 84. There's a difference of a couple lengths. He's also an older horse. Who knows if that would have anything to do with it. But he runs the same final fraction. And it's just... I don't know. I don't think that you can adjust it that finely, and I don't really want to get into that because then you're getting into handicapping from these, and that's not the point at all because our computer programs are designed to do that.
But actually, you do a similar analysis, don't you? If you look, I mean, that's really what happened on Searching Native, right? Say 92, but he's going to be back so far. So
yeah, I mean,
92 minus this.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say 92 minus, let's see, 15 is 77. I should just say a 46-1, that's way too slow. He's 10 lengths behind that bunch. He's going to be way behind the 8s. He's not any good. As opposed to actually giving it a certain number. You know, it's just say, well, heck, I can certainly knock off 10 lengths off of that, right? Would everybody agree with that? 10 lengths, 10, that's an 82. He's not a contender. That's the end of that.
82 versus 88, 87,
yeah.
86.
Yeah, sure. He just can't keep up with the field, that's all. And that's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for horses that from the second call to the finish can run. You know, that's why I started doing this, because I didn't understand how good is a final fraction. I'm just beginning to understand it. When I see an 80 with a pace setter and I see an 88 that's a closer, I'm looking at that 80. You know, the best bet in racing is a horse that's leading the race coming for home. You know, I don't want some clown 9 lengths off the pace. you know, you're tearing up your tickets because he gets there about, you know, one more jump and he would have won the race. Yeah, but I lost my bet. You know, forget the one more jump. But that's the real important thing. When you see an 80 out of his last race, when he lost ground in the stretch, or lost positions, and you look back through his past performances and you see that his final fraction under different circumstances is just as high as everybody else, you are looking at a stick out. Yep. Is there anybody that you can see that is going to be able to challenge a 21-2, 44-2 if he runs that fast? If he runs that fast, he's still going to put the field away. And chances are he's not going to have to today, just because of the running style of the race.
Yes, even pointedly, even fails at the second quarter, and then might keep up with it with the first quarter, but if, the second quarter pointedly.
Yeah, if you notice the difference between the first and second call, she goes 21-2 to the opening quarter, but then she really starts to slow down in between around that far turn again. That's the importance of that turn time.
Yeah, because nobody can run with it.
If you visualize those two horses together at the quarter, as they start going into that turn, where is she going? She's going backwards.
Yeah.
And you can just hear Trevor saying she's had enough. And that's it. She's not going to make it past the half mile pole. As it turned out, she was at the second call. She was third, beaten 1.1 lengths. And you notice her actual final fraction out of that race was a 79. And she ran fifth. She ran behind Alborian. And that's why she did that. And Tom made the point yesterday, I didn't even pay attention to it because I just looked it off the numbers, but she's a filling it going against Coles.
Yeah.
So that's... There's a big difference in the quality of the competition. I mean, she might be real tough when a filly race coming right back.
She ran well here. For
yes, she did against some really good horses.
She's a wide strut.
Yeah, so I'm sure that our Armando Lagi probably must have just done it for training purposes.
Yeah, smoking.
Yeah, well, you never know. Yeah,
she did shook.
But I think it's important. Howard has emphasized in several seminars over the last year about being able to call the race. And since I'm doing it religiously with every race that I'm doing now, it's amazing how accurate you can get. If you know who's going to be the lead at the quarter and how these other horses are going to be positioned, suddenly some of these horses that look okay and you want to put them in the computer, they can't keep up. They're going to be behind too many horses. They're just not actual true win contenders today, or place contenders. And the real value of your final fractions is being able to see the horses that can position themselves properly to move up for place and show and win, of course. But the exactas are just, they're so much easier with this stuff.
So, Tom, are you also saying then that if you put one of those horses in, then they become adjusted to better than they are? Is that
very
is that
possibly? And they might take up a rating.
Yeah, that.
Or they just jumble up the ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, since I started using final fractions, I use Energy. But there's a lot of races that Energy hits 1, 2, 3. It just is what I call just stacks up the winner and then the place horse underneath and the show horse. You get four horses and you got the first, second, third, and fourth horse. You know exactly what's going to happen in the race. A good example of that, I was at the track with a friend of mine, and we had bet a horse to win, and it was in deep stretch, and this closer's coming to him, and I said, don't worry, within 10 yards of the wire, the horse is going to flatten out, because I knew from his final fraction that he was just going to get close to him, but he wouldn't have enough energy to go by, and that's exactly what happened. And you can tell that, you know. People say, well, let's give a for instance. Say a horse can have a clear shot, he's a good closer, he's got a rating of 89, and you figure that Mr. Bolish is going to run an 80 today. He's only going to be 8.5 lengths behind. Is he going to win the race? Probably not. He probably will run second, beaten ahead, or a neck, or a nose, or something like that. He's going to run out of gas just before he gets there. Because two things have to happen for him to win. Number one, he's got to time his move perfectly, and he's got to be exactly 9 lengths behind. Or closer. If he's closer, his rating will go down. If he's further back, then it's too late. So when you have your pay setter, and you have no one that can close to him, I mean, if they're closing right to his number, don't take that closer, for God's sakes. I mean, the real horse to be playing is the presser or the pay setter. Because they're gonna win probably 85% of the time. And the few times that deep closer wins, you should just thank God that he does win once in a while, because the crowd, they just love betting at closers. You know, they just love having their heart go 80 miles an hour as you're coming down the stretch. You're going to make it? You're going to make it? You're going to make it? Oh, damn it, he lost. You know, we go to the window and cash our ticket. You know. I was at Hollywood Park last year, and there was this really deep closer that won. And this guy is screaming. He's just jumping up and down. The only thing was, all the deep closers the rest of the day lost. You know, but he's still betting them. You know. And I lost that wager. I really did. I thought he had a shot, but I chose to bet against him, and I lost my money. But most of the time, your pressers and your early horses will win. You know, they can be a few lengths back. But the importance of the final fraction, again, is knowing who's going to set the pace, what's their number, what do we got to work with, and then being able to rank all your horses off of a race that's similar to today's race, today's distance, stacking your field up. You can come up with a lot of races that only three horses are legitimate contenders to win, place, and show. And if you do that, and it's an exacta race, you can just box them and catch your exacta.